It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
This week, we're going to preview the Royal Rumble, which comes to us live on pay-per-view in the WWE Network this Sunday night with one of the Sports Hub resident gambling experts, Joe Murray. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Wrestling Inside the Ropes, by the way, has been downloaded all over the world on every continent. Special shout out to our two downloads in Morocco. Mike Riley, hi.
James, how are you?
Just peachy. We're joined this week by a third member today, and Joe Murray. Joe, of course, is the host of Over Under 98.5 and also is a huge wrestling fan. In fact, he sat with us in New Orleans for WrestleMania 34, and I believe he's sitting with you and the Wong father at WrestleMania in New York this year. Joe Murray, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys. My favorite wrestling podcast.
Oh, well, thank you, Joe. How much do we owe you for that?
I feel like that's a lie, but I'll go with it and say thank you.
Well, no, it is. It's my favorite. I listen to many of them, but this is my favorite.
Joe, you're here. You're the resident gambling expert along with Dan Lifshatz for Over Under 98.5. So this week, you're going to bring us Royal Rumble odds. And what that kind of means is the men's and the women have matches, and you're going to tell us who the favorites are, who the long shots are. I think you're going to try to make the listeners money this week, which if you like money, I hear your track record's pretty good at this.
Yes, very good at it. And just so to start off, we all know that this is predetermined. Okay.
Wait, what?
It's pretty.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Joe?
It'll be predetermined once the match starts, I'm sure. We see things change all the time in the sport, whether it's week to week, injuries, you name it. But just off the bat, the men's favorite is Seth Rollins. And I'm not sure if anybody's surprised by that, but, you know, he was just part of that Intercontinental push last week with the loss to Bobby Lashley. So now maybe he moves up in the card and becomes the favorite. The other is Finn Balor, who is now currently tied with Drew McIntyre.
Yuck.
They're tied at 375 apiece. So Seth, Finn Balor, and Drew McIntyre are the top three. So I guess I'll ask you guys off the bat, do you think one of those three will be the winner of the Rumble?
So, Joe, Yes. First off, what does, for those like myself who don't gamble, what does minus 375 mean?
So it's plus money. So Seth Rollins is plus 125, which means $100 gets you $125.
If he wins.
Correct.
Yeah. So I put in $100. I get back $125 if he wins. So my total ends up being $225 because I get my $100 back.
Yes.
More or less, right?
Yep, like Mustafa Ali is a long shot at plus 5,000.
Okay, so cool. I'm probably not going to bet him, but I like the fact that I can make a lot of money off of him. Sure. So back to the topic at hand. Seth Rollins is the favorite in the Royal Rumble match. He is who I think is going to win the actual match. So I would bet on Seth Rollins.
Okay. And then Drew McIntyre, as we know, is getting his big push. And of course, Finn Balor is... It looks like he's going to fight Braun Strowman tonight. I'm sure you guys will get into that whole storyline mix-up that's happened there. But just a few guys that are out there that at least interest me here. Dean Ambrose, plus 4,000? Unless he's completely back into the Intercontinental sweepstakes, that's good odds.
Ambrose is interesting to me, Joe, because I sent you guys a text and I was looking for men's match and women's matches, winners, Iron Man, Diesel spot, and wrestlers to watch. Mm-hmm. Dean Ambrose, for me, is a wrestler to watch in this. And the sole reason is I feel like they took the Intercontinental Championship off him rather abruptly for Bobby Lashley. And I had penciled in Finn Balor versus Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania in New York. So unless that plan has changed or they're going to go a different route with Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship, I think Dean Ambrose is an interesting piece to the Royal Rumble puzzle. So I would probably take those odds and bet a little something-something on it because Ambrose could be a disruptor for Seth Rollins winning the Rumble, and then you would have Seth chase Ambrose to get the title shot at WrestleMania. It would give you a good story other than just, here's the winner of the Royal Rumble. He's going to WrestleMania. Mike?
Joe? Mike, to throw in a couple of things for you, other odds out there, the next most favorite person there is John Cena at 1,200 and Andrade at plus 1,600.
Wow. So John Cena, one more time, what are his odds?
Plus 1,200. So we mentioned the top three. Yep. Then it's John Cena at 1,200, yep. Andrade at plus 1,600.
Okay, so one guy, it's funny you said that with the John Cena thing because I've been reading into this way too much on the message boards and the rumor mill about John Cena for his WrestleMania opponent, and it looked like that it was going to be against Lars Sullivan, and not ruling that out yet, but that's why he's in my diesel spot, Lars Sullivan, and he'll eventually get that push there, and he'll be the one to eliminate Cena in the end. So my question to you, Joe, where does Lars Sullivan rank on this?
Not on the list.
Hmm.
And I know there's things happening behind the scenes with Lars Sullivan. I'm sure you guys have read out there.
Right.
Anxiety issues, things of that degree.
My understanding is he's been taking off all booking sheets until further notice.
There you go.
All right, so I'll hold off on that then. All right. So, all right. I mean...
further notice, Mike, in your defense, further notice could be tomorrow.
True. This is true. Yeah. So for Cena, though, say he does. I mean, we don't even know if he's going to be good to go with the reports of an ankle injury. I don't think he's going to be an early entry. I think you're looking at like 22, 23 on for him. He'll be in the mid to late 20s. Huge pop when he comes out, and obviously the boos. But I could see him being final three.
What do you guys think of Andrade being plus 1,600? There's a lot of talk about giving him a push for the simple fact that maybe he's one of those wrestlers that regrets signing with WWE. They're trying to get a lot of talent overseas, so maybe a push by him can somehow put the word in some of these other athletes out there whose contracts are up.
Well, he just had a fabulous match with Rey Mysterio the other day on SmackDown Live. So, I mean, that's a start of a good push. And probably his odds being at that point are more saying that he's going to enter at number four and be there in the final four. Because they've done that a lot of times where they'll have the Iron Man spot, which that would be a good spot for him if he is going to get that type of push. He could be the last person eliminated, final four, final five, something like that, that puts a lot of spotlight on him.
Yeah. Two other guys to mention here, just to wrap up a few of the men's odds.
That's good value, though, with Andrade. Good value. Great value. Yeah.
These two will be surprising. I'm sure you guys have talked about this, actually, on the podcast in the past, and I know Jay Stu's mentioned that he's at least had a theory about it. At plus 2,000 is Kenny Omega, and at plus 2,500 is The Rock to win the
Well, okay. So, you know, Jimmy hinted at this a couple of months ago at The Rock, and he was on that,
It was a random Instagram post, and I didn't care because it was good stuff, but The Rock essentially was going to end up making $24 million for two matches. If he wins the Rumble, it's three, and he probably gets an extra million for that. So,
yeah, I just don't see it happening this time. A couple of months ago, I read into it, but I can't see it happening. Again, great value, though, if you're going to put something down. And if he doesn't show up, Joe, you get your money back, right?
That's correct. It's a push.
Okay. There you go.
What were you talking about, Joe?
With The Rock.
So to repeat, the Omega was plus 2,000.
Oh, Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega is what I wanted to hit on.
The Rock, the former story in the past.
So with Kenny Omega, I have it on pretty good authority that February 1st they'll announce that he's part of All Elite Wrestling, unless something comes in here in the next 10 days or so.
So why can't WWE buy out the rest of his New Japan contract?
Because New Japan won't let them. So here's an example that I can share with the audience, and maybe I've shared this before, I don't remember. When WWE initially signed AJ Styles, Anderson, and Gallows, they went to New Japan and said, we would like to buy the Bullet Club, the rights to the Bullet Club, and they were going to pay a stupid amount of money for it, and New Japan told them to go F themselves. Mm. So the relationship with WWE and New Japan is not good. And I would add to that that based on how Chris Jericho talked on his podcast about his ventures to New Japan and his suggestions to Vince McMahon for things, I don't think that relationship will ever go anywhere.
Wow.
Relationship between New Japan and WWE. I should be clear on that.
Wow. Okay. So he's not going into the Royal Rumble. That's out. That's 100% out now, Kenny Omega.
I feel strongly in saying that there's a 0.1% chance that he's in the Rumble.
0.1. Okay. All right. I mean, anything is possible. It could change. I mean, I think there's a 0.1% chance that Rob Gronkowski will be in the Royal Rumble, too.
So I think if the Patriots had lost on Sunday, Gronk was going to be in the Rumble. But
yep.
I felt like wrestling is on the horizon for him for a long time. So
it's only a matter of time.
It's just a matter of him getting the right offer, I think.
Right.
One other name just to wrap up a few of the other names that are on the list. The Miz is plus 3,300. Bobby Lashley's at 4,000. Dolph Ziggler is at 5,000. Elias, who's one of my favorites, at plus 3,300. Samoa Joe as well at plus 3,300. And finally, Batista, plus 3,000. I think he makes a Royal Rumble appearance this year, guys.
What was that Samoa Joe one again?
Plus 3,300.
I love that one. That's a great value. And he's one of my guys I'm going to keep a close eye on in the Royal Rumble. Batista, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we saw it when they had the reunion earlier this year, him and Triple H. They had that little thing back and forth. Everything I've read, Triple H is still recovering from the injury that he had.
Right.
But I feel like you may see some sort of setup between Triple H and Batista to fight at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Joe on this one. Is Batista and Triple H have been dying to have a match at WrestleMania again, so this is probably their kind of showcase for that. I want to hit on the Samoa Joe thing because Samoa Joe, for me, I want so badly to have that diesel spot and just have a featured place in the Royal Rumble match and have 5, 6, 7 eliminations just to showcase what a special talent and what a dominating talent he can be. They probably won't do it because he's 40 and he doesn't look like a WWE superstar, and that's the problem. And that's why he probably didn't beat AJ Styles amongst his 5 opportunities, too.
I think also, too, that in order of the card, I think the opening event for the Royal Rumble itself will be the men's Royal Rumble match. That's your first one off the bat Sunday night. And then they close with the Women's Royal Rumble as the main event.
Joe?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think they end it it might be the final match of the night, the men's one. I know they've been pitching women's towards the end, but when I see Finn Balor's name on this list, it means that he may have lost the fight earlier in the night and may be coming back.
Oh, shoot. You're right. I didn't see him in. Yep. My bad.
Foreshadowing on that.
My bad. Yep. I did not take that into account. So, okay. That's out. Maybe they open up with the Universal title and Brock can get the hell out of there.
I think if anything, if we're talking about them opening up a show with something, they open up with Becky Lynch versus Asuka.
Wow.
Okay.
Just a couple little details. Want your Iron Man for the Royal Rumble match, and just to clearly be specific on who has the most eliminations in your mind and who are your wrestlers to watch. I'll start with Mike.
And this is for the men's side, right?
Yes, the men's side.
Okay, my Iron Man for the men's side, I ended up picking Drew McIntyre here. I think he is going to be the guy to get that push. It just seems like that I could see him winning. I don't have him winning, though, but I just think that he's going to have an early entry, similar to the Diesel position where I thought that Lars Sullivan would be right there, the Diesel spot. But the wrestler to watch, Drew McIntyre, because he's had that push there since he separated from Dolph Ziggler. I think that you're also going to see Dolph Ziggler be the number one entrant. And then those two have a good feud, in the Royal Rumble itself. And McIntyre will last close to an hour.
Joe?
I will go with Andrade as the Iron Man. I think he'll be third or fourth entrant. He'll hang in there until the end and get eliminated. I think Drew McIntyre will have the most eliminations. So
he's your Diesel.
Yeah, and I have a stat on that for you, which I'll give you guys a little bit of prop bet on that coming up. And Joe, do it here. I'll do it here. So there are prop bets on who will have the most eliminations when it comes to the Royal Rumble, and the strong favorite is Drew McIntyre. Bobby Lashley also on that list as well. So that's all on the men's side. Nia Jax favored on the women's side.
And we'll get to the women's side in a moment.
I like Elias to at least, is my pick. He's one of my picks this year for the Royal Rumble.
To do what in the Royal Rumble, just to be clear?
I like Elias to – I think Seth Rollins is going to win the Royal Rumble. I think he's going to be one of the last participants in the
– So you have Elias in your final four?
Correct.
Okay. Just to be clear on this stuff, and just to be clear on mine, Seth Rollins I think is going to win. I think Seth Rollins is also going to be the Iron Man of the match. He's going to enter in that one or two spot, and I think he's going to win it, but I could see him as being a runner-up to Dean Ambrose as well. I want Samoa Joe to be the Diesel spot, and my wrestler to watch is Dean Ambrose. On to the women's match.
Well, hold on, Jimmy. You have Seth Rollins winning. Seth Rollins. Joe, you got Seth Rollins winning as well?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I do too. I have him winning, and I also have him as my Diesel guy. So I think he's going to have the most eliminations. He's going to be the guy saying, I'm the guy that's going to take down the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar. So there you go. We're all in agreement here with Seth Rollins.
Boo. So next we have the women's Royal Rumble match. The women main evented last year's Royal Rumble. More so than anything else is because they had Ronda Rousey as a surprise for the end. We all thought she was going to be number 30. Trish Stratus, of course, if memory serves, was number 30 last year. But that, I think, is the reason why that match went on last year. This year, I could see them doing this as the main event, the last match, because I'm going to give you my wrestler to watch out of the chute before we get to odds. And Joe, you'll give me the odds on this wrestler to watch, because I think she's going to open the show and win the Women's SmackDown Championship. I think she's going to be the 29th entrant in the Royal Rumble match, and I think she's going to win the Royal Rumble match itself, and that's Becky Lynch. And I just have the vibe that this would add so much to her badass push. Becky beats up somebody, enters at 29. She enters as the SmackDown Women's Champion, which she won earlier in the night. She cleans house, and then she challenges Ronda Rousey for her Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. And then, Of course, Becky would have to last eliminate Charlotte Flair, creating a natural issue, continuing their storyline. And Charlotte would then have a complaint because Becky Lynch was not legally in the Royal Rumble matchup. So by default, you could make Charlotte Flair the winner and be able to challenge a champion of her choice. But what you've done is you've tied a storyline into all three women into getting to WrestleMania, having all three of them compete in one match, and you can promote it as a winner takes all of the women's championships.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Well, I'll tell you the odds right off the bat. Becky Lynch is not listed on the Forbes list to win the Royal Rumble, the women's Royal Rumble.
So she's off the board.
And logically, that would make sense because she's listed in the championship match with Asuka.
Yep, and I should mention that she is the underdog to Asuka. So in betting terms, Asuka's minus 200, Becky Lynch is plus 150. So $100 gets you 150, but Asuka being minus 200 is a strong favorite. And then on the men's side, I mentioned it earlier, Brock Lesnar's minus 450. That was to face Braun Strowman at the time. No odds on Finn Balor as of right now. And just to throw it out there
again,
love Jimmy's theory on that. It would be great if the writers could actually use their brain and do that. But I think it's fair to say that we all think that there's some sort of setup with Ronda Rousey against Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch, right?
Yeah, I think that's the WrestleMania. Question. I think that's the WrestleMania women's match, the main women's match, whether it goes on last or not, is a debatable point. We all seem to think that it's Ronda versus either Becky or Charlotte, or both.
Okay. Because Charlotte Flair is the favorite. It's minus 250.
As she should be.
Strong favorite. Just to throw out a name that I think should really be watched. You talk about wrestler to watch. Alexa Bliss. Yeah. She hasn't wrestled. She's been off TV. Like, she's the perfect opponent to somehow sneak her way to win this thing. And I just, for somewhat short money, a plus 1,600, her and Ember Moon. I listed at plus 1,600 as the next favorites. I like Alexa Bliss in that spot.
Wow. Okay. To win. Alexa Bliss to win.
Well, yes. Yeah. Plus 1,600. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All
right. But there's some long shots here, guys. Just to go over it. The real long shots, Alicia Fox, 10,000. Trish Stratus is in here, Jay Stu.
Yes. I could see her. I could see her being in this match. I don't think she'll win it, but.
Well, that they could throw a curveball and have a legend win the Royal Rumble. They really could do that. But I don't think it's going to happen, though.
So Mickie James is in that list. Sonya Deville's in that list. Ruby Riott as well.
What about Lita?
So Lita not on the list.
Really?
She's not on the list. Sasha Banks is plus 4,000.
That's great value.
Ronda Rousey's plus 33. The best value, though, and surprising of all, the girl's getting a big push right now, is Mandy Rose at plus 2,500.
Yeah, give me more Mandy Rose.
Wait, Joe, what's Carmella? She's a 30th entrant.
She is plus... Carmella is plus 6,600.
With the 30th entrant? That's right. Pretty darn good.
Well, I mean, let's be real here. The 30th entrant doesn't guarantee anything. I mean, I think in the history of the Rumble, maybe two people have won from that spot.
The other name I don't see on here... Shayna from NXT.
Shayna Baszler.
Baszler. She should be on this list. She's not. But I have to think that she would be.
So, Joe, actually, this just popped in my head, right? So, Finn Balor's on the men's list. Sasha Banks is on this list. Could Becky Lynch not be on this gambling odds because everybody would put their money on Becky Lynch and it's just a bad play for the gamblers?
Yeah, it'd be low odds. Yep. Oh, yeah, it'd be low odds. And what would happen is it would hit the board probably after the match. Like you mentioned, it could be the opening match. I will say, though, what's interesting is Asuka's on this list at plus 5,000.
This is why I ask about Becky, because you've just mentioned people who are in other matches who are listed in the Rumble match for the odds makers.
Yep.
So essentially, if Becky were on there, Joe, that would be a sucker bet, right?
She'd probably, I mean, Rick, like I said, Charlotte Flair's minus 250. Those odds are a little bit of a sucker bet because you're playing juice. But she'd probably be right up there, plus 100, something like that. I don't think she's on the board because right now it's all championship or nothing.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Hmm. Well, I think that's going to be your closing match right there, the Women's Royal Rumble.
So who wins it? Who wins the match, Mike?
All right. So it was, let me tell you, Jimmy, January 19th is a very, and in fact, this whole week in particular is a big week in WWE history, because January 19th, 92, Ric Flair won with a tear in his eye.
Wow.
Mike Tyson came to Raw to invade the DX angle or in Stone Cold, and then he eventually joined DX on January 19th, 98. And then it was 25 years ago on January the 22nd in Providence, Rhode Island, 1994, Lex Luger and Bret the Hitman Hart, co-winners of the Royal Rumble. And I think that's what we're going to see once again 25 years later. It's going to be Charlotte and Becky co-winners, both feet falling to the floor at the same time. And that was what will set up a triple threat match at WrestleMania. Becky, Charlotte, Ronda. Boom.
Love it.
Joe?
Okay.
Although I think Charlotte Flair wins, I like Alexa Bliss at plus 1600. I would dabble on that. She hasn't wrestled in so long. She's got her own show. And to be honest with you, the girl's flat out good heel.
She's awesome.
A great heel.
You know, and she's been hidden for a while. Let's go on for another run to WrestleMania. I'd love that.
Well, that's why I think that, you know, I like Jimmy's theory with the with Becky winning, you know, cleaning house, SmackDown title and all that. But I just think this is the easy road to WrestleMania, have them both win, and then your triple threat is set up just like that. Boom.
Iron Woman spot.
Iron Woman. I think she's going to be like your number one or two entrant, and she stays to the very end.
I'm going to say Ember Moon because they want to give her a good push. She's always a part of the mystery partner, and I think she hangs around until the end, but she's in the final four and gets knocked out.
I am going with Ruby Riott. She and the Riott Squad have done really great work the last few months, so it makes sense that they would reward her with such a long-standing, you know, 30 minutes, 40-minute stint in the Royal Rumble match. She's really good.
Plus 8,000.
Who is your diesel spot?
My diesel spot? You ready for this one? Joe, give me the odds for this, please. Dana Brooke. I think that she's been very quiet in general, and you got to have that little bit of spice, a little bit of a surprise, more or less. People could be like, whoa, Dana Brooke making a run here. I mean, look at last year. Michelle McCool was the one that cleaned house for the Women's Royal Rumble. I think Dana Brooke is going to have at least 7 or 8 eliminations in the Royal Rumble, and she's going to be the powerhouse for a good portion of it to really open up some eyes. What's her odds, Joe?
Dana Brooke, not on the list.
Well, she's an entrant.
She is. She got announced yesterday. Mine is Nia Jax. I think she'll be one of the hardest people to throw out.
Yeah.
She'll be in the final four as well, and she's, what, one of the largest women of all time?
Oh, yeah.
She's not going to be easy to just throw over the rope.
I'd like to go with Charlotte Flair, but I won't. I will go with Tamina.
Ooh.
As kind of a tribute to her family legacy. I think they will give her the most eliminations in the Royal Rumble match.
Nice.
Well, one last thing I should mention here is Ronda Rousey is minus 1,500 to defeat Sasha Banks. That is huge odds there.
Yeah.
So that lock that one up. That's happening.
So we will get to some of the other important matches on the Royal Rumble show. Joe Murray has an important question for us. We will do that when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
This is Eddie Edwards, the former Ring of Honor World Champion, former TNA World Champion, and the former GHC World Heavyweight Champion, and you are listening to Inside the Ropes with Jay Stu and Sarge, where anything is possible. Go Celtics!
So I realized before we went to break that, Mike, I forgot to ask you and Joe who your women to watch are for the Royal Rumble match, so my apologies.
It's all good, Jimmy. We'll let it slide. But my woman to watch is going to be Sasha Banks. I know Joe was just talking about the lock of the night with Ronda Rousey and that retaining women's title against Sasha Banks. So I think with her losing to Ronda Rousey, she'll have an extra edge on her in the Royal Rumble. And, you know, I'm sure they could kind of tease something with her and Bayley again to potential have a breakup down the line. But all indications are the tag team titles are going around them when they do indeed come out. But I think that Sasha Banks is going to be the one to watch here. Maybe she'll start to get that push again that she started to have, or she did have a couple of years ago. The last year, she's been way under the radar, but I think she is going to have a very good and very entertaining Royal Rumble. What are her odds, Joe, for the Rumble?
Sasha Banks is, she is not on the list. Plus 4,000.
All right. Okay.
Mine to watch is, it might be a little boring here, but for me, it is, the dancing girl. What's her name? I just lost her name now.
Carmella?
Naomi.
I was going to say, Carmella with R-Truth?
No, Naomi. I feel like Naomi's, you know.
Oh, Naomi's the Feel the Glow.
Yeah, Feel the Glow. There you go. I think she'll make it interesting. Who knows? A scorned woman with everything happening with her husband and Mandy Rose, maybe she'll put on a good little show.
She, of course, does have history of winning Battle Royals. She won the Women's Battle Royal in New Orleans.
There you go.
That's right.
Not a terrible pick. So Joe Murray posed this question over our text exchange. So Joe, the floor is yours. Ask away, sir.
So we all know that there's Mr. WrestleMania. You know, there's always in baseball, it's Mr. October. It's, you know, things to that degree. When it comes to the Royal Rumble and the history of the Royal Rumble, I ask both James Stewart and Mike Riley of Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
That's us.
Who is Mr. Royal Rumble?
Mike, I'll defer to you.
Well, this one, the research department and I, after going over this here for about a day, and, you know, thinking about this, especially, he already has the title of Mr. WrestleMania, Shawn Michaels, which he's had some great matches there, but his overall record at WrestleMania isn't the best. He's my Mr. Royal Rumble. He won back-to-back Royal Rumbles in 95, and then in 96, of course, to set up that Iron Man match against Bret the Hitman Hart at WrestleMania 12. So, you know, here's Shawn Michaels in the prime of his career, more or less right there, winning back-to-back 95, 96 during a time when it was a downtime for the WWF and then starting to climb out of that dark era, if you will, into the early stages of the Attitude Era. With the 96 Royal Rumble. And again, I've said it before on record, and I will say it again, that Shawn Michaels is the greatest in-ring performer I have ever seen. I just think he is the most athletic and most talented guy I've ever had the privilege to watch inside the squared circle. He's just awesome all around. He always has you on the edge of your seat, and that's why he's my Mr. Royal Rumble, winning two of them back-to-back, 95 and 96.
For me, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. He is a four-time winner. He is fourth all-time in eliminations, and he converted three of his four Rumble wins into championship wins. Now you're going to say, no, no, James, he won the Rumble three times. No, he didn't. He won it four times. Because the year that Vince McMahon won the Rumble in 1999, Vince gave up his spot at WrestleMania, and as they told the story the next night on Raw, that converted to Steve Austin being the winner. So Steve Austin won four out of five Royal Rumbles. That's pretty impressive. That's a hell of a run right there, and that's why he is my Mr. Royal Rumble.
I also agree. It's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Thank you, Joe.
I just want to throw out Kane. Kane never won the Royal Rumble. He was a runner-up, but has the most eliminations all time. He should be in this year's Royal Rumble as well.
Which would be his 20th.
But to be honest with you, sometimes you don't need a you don't need a championship to be one of the best. And I think Kane at least should be in the conversation.
I think Ted DiBiase agrees with you about not needing a singles championship to be known as one of the best.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Royal Rumble, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Shawn Michaels, 1-2.
Yeah, Austin was a 1A for me. But I just, Austin, again, you're right. He did convert it, 98, 97, with the very controversial finish. Referee didn't see him there.
And a win is a win, Mike.
I know, on paper. And
whether you scam it or you cheat it or however, you win the match. That's all that matters.
The refs get involved or not.
And that was one of the best Royal Rumbles ever, the 97 one in San Antonio.
Do you think they're going to take away that Patriots victory on Sunday because the refs handed it to them? No.
No.
Well, or the Rams.
Or the Rams.
Yeah.
But there was a play earlier. Nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to go down that route.
So, Joe, you have odds for us for important matches, I hope. And I want to start with Brock Lesnar defending the Universal Championship against Finn Balor.
Yes, Brock Lesnar was a huge favorite. I believe it was minus 450 at the time. I'll pull him back up. I just had him here a minute ago. But, yeah, Brock Lesnar is the large favorite in that one. Ronda Rousey, huge favorite.
No. We'll get there. We're going to go match by match, Joe.
Yep.
I have another 30 minutes I want to fill on this podcast. So just pace yourself, Joe.
But what do you guys think about that one, though?
Brock Lesnar and Finn Balor?
Yes.
I think it's a shoo-in that, you know, Brock's going to win. I think Finn's going to give him a fight. I think this could be an underappreciated match going into it on the card, where a lot of people, you look at the matchup like, yeah, Finn's going to get his ass kicked. Look at the size difference there. But I think he's going to do the majority of the work, and I'm actually looking forward to it. I really am. But I think Brock will eventually pull out the victory, though.
So I see Brock Lesnar retaining here as well. I mean, I would love to see Finn Balor pull the Eddie Guerrero special and win the match in the Universal Championship, but I don't see Vince letting Finn Balor beat Brock Lesnar, although I do anticipate that we're going to see the Demon at the Royal Rumble, and that way it's going to make it somewhat of a closer fight, and they can promote it as the Demon versus the Beast.
Hmm.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean,
Joe, what do you think?
Yeah. It looks like from what we saw in the Monday Night Raw promo, you know, the whole David and Goliath thing. Well, maybe it's the Demon versus the Beast, like you said. And, you know, I think what's the storyline here, though? Is the storyline here that it's McMahon and everybody thinking that Finn's too small and too weak? And what will the outcome be? Because I don't know. I smell a squash coming. I smell a squash. And then what does that do for Finn Balor? And then if Brock Lesnar loses to him, what's it do for Brock Lesnar? I feel like the storyline's not really going to go anywhere here.
The storyline to me is Finn Balor's the underdog. Finn Balor's the undersized guy going against the UFC guy. The story, if Finn gets squashed, is he's not in Brock Lesnar's league. And then Finn goes to the Intercontinental Division and probably wins that at WrestleMania. I think they are trying a different way to tell the Daniel Bryan story. The undersized, never gets a fair opportunity, similar to what they told, I think, around the time that they put Eddie Guerrero in the ring with Brock Lesnar. If Balor wins, it's because Braun Strowman helped him, or it's because somebody else helped him. It's not an outright clean win of Finn Balor beating Brock Lesnar. It's not, for Ring of Honor fans, they'll remember, because I remember it clearly, when Samoa Joe's championship reign ended at the hands of Austin Aries. There was Austin Aries was a phenomenal performer, still is, and Joe was just this unbeatable destroyer, but on this one night, Austin Aries got the win on him, and it came out of nowhere. But I don't see Vince McMahon as doing that, because Vince McMahon sees Brock Lesnar as, this is my UFC, this is my unbeatable star, and I'm not having a guy who has all the wrestling talent in the world but weighs a buck 65 soaking wet beating Brock Lesnar.
So, I mean, I'm with you. I think that'd be great for the Demon versus the Beast, but I think they already would have built it at this point now. We would definitely know if he were to be coming out as the Demon. I don't know. I think it's going to be the regular Finn Balor. And you're right, to your point with the, it's a bridge. This is all it is, a bridge for Brock Lesnar to retain and have the title right into New York. And it's just a filler situation here. And you know what? Good for Finn Balor being put on that stage, because Jimmy, as you say, he's been the Universal Champion for how many days now?
It's like 880 days.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a title that he was forced to strip because of an injury, which he never did lose to anybody. So good for him being put into this position again. I could see him being the champion when Brock does walk in the spring, but right now, just not going to happen.
Joe, any thoughts outside of the gambling?
I just hope
you can say no. It's okay. I won't be offended if you say no.
It's not a squash. Like, okay, yeah, Brock Lesnar beats Finn Balor. Oh, is Finn Balor going to get another injury? Like, that's what I'm thinking about. How long is Finn going to be out after this one?
And Brock does have a history. He squashed the Big Show a few years ago at the Royal Rumble. So if you're worried about a squash, there's an example of where it may have happened. Next on my list of important matches, the new Daniel Bryan defending the WWE Championship against AJ Styles. I think Daniel Bryan has to retain here to continue what I think is a really good character development for him. You can tell he believes in what he's saying with the junk food promos on SmackDown, all of that fun stuff. Joe Murray, what are the odds on the WWE Championship match?
Well, I have new odds courtesy of oddshark.com. Currently, Daniel Bryan -350, AJ Styles +225 is the underdog.
+225.
Styles getting no love.
Wow. Okay. So, I don't see Daniel Bryan losing this chair. He does need the title more than AJ Styles. And you're right to what Jimmy said, that he's doing a really good job with his character. This is like real Daniel Bryan stuff, what he believes in real life and so forth. And it's worked. And he's done a total 180 from being the commissioner to back in the ring and now your champion. Again, AJ Styles, I think he's the greatest in the world. He doesn't need the title. He doesn't. But this is the last time he's going to have a championship match for quite some time. Daniel Bryan wins this, and then AJ Styles will go on to feud with, I could see someone, maybe even like Randy Orton on the way to WrestleMania to put him over a little more, get him back in the scene. But Daniel Bryan wins. No, none of the big titles are changing hands here.
Joe, any non-gambling thoughts?
Just, I think Daniel Bryan keeps the title, but what's next for AJ Styles? Like, I'm interested in what Vince McMahon does in that contract signing they do tomorrow, but what is next for AJ? Does he move to Monday Night Raw? Does he, you know, start to pair up with the Bullet Club, with the OGBC again? So I'm interested to see how all that works out. And what's his contract? Do we know his contract at the moment, Jimmy?
April. Expiration from what I figured out a couple of weeks ago.
So here's a hypothetical for you guys. This just popped in my head, right? AJ Styles loses the WWE Championship match, enters into the Royal Rumble, wins the Royal Rumble match, and goes on to challenge Brock at WrestleMania.
Brock?
In.
I think that'd be cool.
What are we getting? I mean, it's a step up from Finn Balor, that's for sure.
And what ends up happening is AJ is the one to beat Brock Lesnar. And now he's the face that runs Monday Night Raw.
And you know what would be awesome? A dream match for me, a dream rivalry, AJ versus Seth Rollins. And there you go. You get it right there on Monday Night Raw. Those two guys together. That would be perfect for me.
And what you could do there is you could have a story of here's AJ. He steals Seth's spotlight because it was supposed to be Seth's moment. Mm-hmm. And then you have Seth and AJ all summer long.
I love it.
And Seth is a heel, which is where he should be.
Yeah. Dream matchup for me, AJ and Rollins. Perfect.
And they can write that, too. This isn't, you know.
We think they can write it.
that seems something that could be logical.
Or on the opposite end, put Rollins over on SmackDown. You could do that. But they like the Monday Night Rollins thing.
Yeah, it's catchy. It's a neat t-shirt.
Yeah, it works.
So next on my list of matches that I care about on this show, Asuka versus Becky Lynch. Asuka is defending the SmackDown Women's Championship. I've already said that I think Becky Lynch is winning the championship here, and she's going on to win the Royal Rumble match. And if she doesn't win the Royal Rumble match, then Charlotte Flair will win the Royal Rumble match, rightfully so. But I think Becky Lynch takes the title from Asuka. I think she's got such momentum going. And unless you're going to have Ronda do a run-in to disrupt Becky from winning it, I think Becky's got to win and win strong.
Okay.
Yeah, just to give you the odds quickly, Asuka's minus 190, Becky Lynch plus 140.
See, I'm going Asuka here. Again, I'm sticking with my prediction that none of the titles change hands. And I think Asuka wins. That sets up a better scenario for Becky to get revenge in the Royal Rumble to that blockbuster finish I have with her and Charlotte there. So I got Asuka winning this, and it's just a better case scenario for the storyline of Becky Lynch.
I think it's better that Asuka has the title to focus more on Becky and Charlotte or Ronda. It just gives them a direction to do so while someone else is capable of holding down the belt.
Yeah.
So I do too. Here's my follow-up question. If Becky doesn't win the SmackDown title here, who is Asuka's next challenger?
Carmella.
How about Shayna?
Or Naomi?
Why not Shayna Baszler?
Because she's the queen of spades in NXT, and I think they are saving Shayna for... So I think Shayna and Ronda are the same, even though Shayna is being a better version of what Ronda Rousey should be. But I think they are saving Shayna and the other two, because I can't remember their names, and nobody else can either, for when they do Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen.
Oh, was it Lacey Evans?
No.
Nikki Cross? Nikki Cross?
Nope.
Those are
not Four Horsewomen. I love Nikki Cross.
Yeah.
But she just got
married. She's crazy like me. I love her.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as names that could, I mean, you know, do you want to watch the same old... Carmella's a good guess because she was up there for sure.
And she's the best women's promo... She was the best women's promo before Becky hit her stride and, you know, not named Charlotte Flair. So if you want to take the SmackDown women's division back to a promo brand, then, yeah, that's your pick. Outside of that, it's does Mandy Rose get it now? I don't think so.
Sonya Deville?
Sonya Deville get it, but then that kind of defeats the purpose of having Sonya there as Mandy's heater.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, Naomi certainly should get another run with it at some point. And then what's the rest of the division? The Iconics, who are probably going to be the first SmackDown, the first women's tag team champions. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, the division's really thin right now.
Zelina Vega get a push, you know, and I don't know if she could, you know, really, she's still a little green right now.
And she's got I think she's got a history of concussions now, thanks to Nia Jax.
Yeah.
That one was probably intentional too.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. Who would be the next feud for Asuka? Who would it be? I don't know. I just think it's a great opportunity to give one of those people who just listened there a push. And then an opportunity for that filler pay-per-view in February, the Elimination Chamber. Give someone another spotlight scenario there.
I'll give you one other name. How about Nikki Bella? You know, maybe she pops up at the Rumble and something happens.
So Nikki Bella is a good one because – she has name value. And while in a one-on-one match, she shouldn't be going toe-to-toe with Ronda Rousey, but because she's got name value, she's on the E! Channel, she always pops a number when she shows up. Nikki Bella is a good name.
Would one of the...
And especially around WrestleMania time where all the part-timers come back. Good job, Joe.
Okay, now speaking of that, with the part-timers coming back, even though they're not essentially part-timers on a permanent basis, but would they do a couple of one-offs more or less to carry into WrestleMania, i.e. Trish Stratus, i.e. Lita, similar situation like that? Do you think that could be a possibility too?
I do. I could 100% see. See, we all assume that it's Becky or Charlotte winning the Royal Rumble. Maybe it's somebody else, and they decide to go after Asuka, and they can have Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky set up a different way.
Right.
But that's right. A path of a little bit tougher resistance, I think.
Yeah.
As opposed to this is a very simple storyline. One of these two won the Rumble. They're going to Raw to challenge Ronda because they have issues with Ronda. Although it would have been interesting to me, because up until like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Charlotte and Ronda was going to be the women's championship match for the Royal Rumble.
For the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. And then that changed, and they can still do Ronda versus Charlotte before WrestleMania if they just want to do Ronda and Becky for WrestleMania. But it right. seems that it's a total hodgepodge, and it depends on Vince's mood day to day. But
Yeah, and there's so much opportunity, so much speculation here, and this is going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out. I'm very excited for it.
Of course, Ronda Rousey is defending her Raw Women's Championship against Sasha Banks. Joe, give me the odds on this match.
Ronda is a heavy favorite at plus 1,500. Sasha Banks plus 575, $100 gets you 575 if the bank statement is placed.
I mean, that's a great payout.
Well done. I appreciate that. I got that, Joe. I'm with you. Ronda Rousey wins this match. I'm happy to see that Sasha Banks gets this championship opportunity. She said that she found out the day before Raw that it was announced, and she said in a conversation with Edge and Christian about how she didn't see this match coming from anywhere until they decided that they were going to do it the day before. So I'm happy that she gets this opportunity. I think they're going to put on a really good match. But in the end, I think Ronda Rousey retains because they have bigger things for Ronda Rousey or they have a main event spot for Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, I think.
Yeah, and that's where I got Ronda winning here too. And to tag along to the point where I was saying with Asuka beating Becky Lynch, I think it just sets up a better scenario for Sasha Banks in the Women's Royal Rumble matchup there to have that extra fire to her and to be more PO'd after losing to Ronda Rousey. I think that could actually be a pretty good match. It might be, you know, Sasha Banks may give her a little bit of a scare. You know, we may have a couple of close encounters for her winning in the tail end of it, the 2.5 count or even a close submission on the bank statement. I think we're in for a good matchup there between Sasha and Ronda Rousey.
Just over the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of talk of is Sasha a face or a heel. You've been seeing it going back and forth. I think this elevates her to become the next heel. And who knows, maybe we get Bayley, something different, but I think she becomes a heel from going forward.
Come on, Joe. There's no more good guys versus bad guys. That term is certainly passé.
This is the woman we're talking about here.
I mean, that promo was like 22 years ago. Think about that.
Final one here with odds, just if you want it, the tag team championship. The Bar is their dogs to Miz and Shane McMahon. How does Shane and Miz not win this thing?
Yeah, I think
because they can't get along in the match.
Ooh.
Can't get along in the match, but also, you know, you see the whole breakup there with Ambrose and Seth Rollins, so same scenario there. They win, and then they're going to have to put their egos aside or go one-on-one at WrestleMania, set up a match right there. Boom.
Do you guys think that Miz versus Shane is a good idea for a WrestleMania match?
No.
I don't think it's good, but I think anytime – I mean, we know this. I thought the match of WrestleMania 33 was Shane and AJ Styles. He puts on a good show anytime he's in the ring. Not saying it'll be the match of the night, but I think it could be an underappreciated match going into it, and sometimes those are the best ones. So I don't think it's the best idea, but it could open a few eyebrows, like, okay, or raise a few eyebrows, rather, like, this is pretty darn good.
I feel
Miz
like
is good in the ring.
I feel like Miz, not Miz. I think Miz is awesome. No pun intended. Shane is kind of hit or miss. Shane had a great match with AJ Styles. Tell me somebody who doesn't have a great match with AJ Styles.
Shinsuke.
Bingo. Good job, Joe. Multiple bad matches with AJ Styles.
Horrible.
Shane didn't exactly have a great match with The Undertaker in Dallas. But I don't know how much that was Shane's fault and how much that was Undertaker's fault and how much that was actually what they were working within the parameters of, okay, Shane, when are you diving off the cell? Let's go.
Yeah.
We have Roman Reigns to crown here. Let's go.
Right. There was a huge prop right there.
But when I think Miz, I think Miz should be in the championship fight. And him as a good guy going into bad guy Daniel Bryan doesn't work per se. But if you're telling me it's Miz versus AJ Styles for the championship, I'm into that. If you're telling me it's a villain Miz against somebody else for the championship, I'm into that. I just the Shane Miz thing just doesn't do anything for me. I hope they lose. I hope they get smoked, and I hope that SmackDown continues to have the best tag team wrestling on the WWE brands.
Well, I mean, here you are with Shane winning the what was that pay-per-view in November at Saudi Arabia? Crown.
It's called the World Cup of Wrestling now, I believe. They won't call it the Crown Jewel.
Okay. All right, World Cup of Wrestling. He won that.
Of course, the actual World Cup of Wrestling was from WCW, Starrcade, around 91, 92, 93, 94, Lowball 2.
And right around in that same time of the year, too, in the fall. So, again, build it up right there. Here's Shane being the World Cup, the best in the world, where The Miz, awesome. Who's more awesome? There you go. Just sets it up right there. Shane and The Miz at WrestleMania.
Joe?
I just, I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it. I think I'd be more interested to know who The Undertaker is going to fight. Like, I don't know. The Miz will find somebody, right? I mean, Shane McMahon will probably find somebody on the SmackDown brand. But I just, those two together, it doesn't get me. And just while we're on it, I looked up the odds for who The Undertaker would fight at WrestleMania.
Well, what do you got?
It's still Shawn Michaels, John Cena, and then third, Brock Lesnar.
I've been on the Michaels bandwagon for a while. Told you guys that Labor Day weekend, but AJ Styles thing started to hit me a little bit, especially with the, you know, when he punched Vince McMahon in the face on Christmas, the SmackDown there. I don't know. I just thought that could happen there, AJ and Undertaker, but I may have to go back to Shawn Michaels and Undertaker here.
Okay. We are on the road to WrestleMania, of course.
And Undertaker, he's got 24. 24 wins at WrestleMania.
I don't know who AJ makes sense because it's a quote, it's somebody who can carry Taker through a good match. If you're telling me that Cena and Taker are going to have another match, I'm probably into that. But I'm kind of, after Undertaker routed Cena, I'm kind of done with seeing Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah. What if it was against like a... he mentioned AJ Styles, which would be good. But what about like a Samoa Joe?
Oh, I'm here for that.
Yeah, but you need Samoa Joe. You're not going to get a tombstone out of that. You're just not. You'll get a choke slam. He can't lift him.
And have you noticed?
Oh, Joe could get up for Undertaker. No question. Joe could get up there for him. Joe could get up there. Trust me, he could.
All right. Let's see it. Let's hope for it.
Yeah, I mean,
now
cool.
I want to see a Samoa Joe Undertaker WrestleMania match.
That'd be cool. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in the same ring as The Undertaker? That's awesome. And the chance for him to get his 25th WrestleMania victory, you know, again, Samoa Joe right there, great opportunity for him. But I just really...
They'll give it to some bleep bum like Drew McIntyre.
They'll give it to Baron Corbin.
Ugh, because he's talking gross.
About careers, right? He has been. He's been talking about ending Kurt Angle, John Cena.
Be a quick match. Boom.
I know when I'm making nachos and going to the bathroom during WrestleMania, it's when Baron Corbin comes out to take on The Undertaker.
Ha! Well, we'll see what happens. The Taker and Baron Corbin. Look at that.
Joe, as we wrap up the podcast, any final prop bets that you got to kind of wedge in here?
So I just popped up Odd Sharks, who literally gives you 50 names.
What is this, the greatest Royal Rumble?
Well, they like some of the names, for instance, Randy Orton's a little bit of a forgotten guy.
Yuck.
Kevin Owens.
I love Kevin Owens. Won't be back until the night after WrestleMania.
He's plus 1,000. Just keep going. Jeff Hardy's another name. Aleister Black. EC3. Rusev. CM Punk's on the list, but that's just obviously just a, you know, they throw him on there.
He's done with wrestling.
The Undertaker is on the list.
So let's wrap up with this. Let's play out the Undertaker scenario, right? Undertaker comes in at 29 and wins the Royal Rumble. Who's he challenge? Does he challenge the Brock? He challenges Brock.
Ooh, but if AJ wins,
right? AJ now wins. You've got an interesting scenario. You've got the Undertaker, who's not only going for his 25th WrestleMania win, but he's also on the last legs of his career, going for a championship. Now, whether it's revenge against Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship, or whether it's a new opponent in AJ Styles or Daniel Bryan, are you guys, to use a Joe Murray term, are you guys in or are you guys out?
In, baby, in. And, you know, the other thing, too, Undertaker, as of now, he's 53. He'll be 54 in late March. So by the time WrestleMania rolls around, he'll be 54. This is it. That's it. And, you know, the leak about him going into the Hall of Fame, too, it does make sense for this to be his last hurrah. So I would be in on that with the Brock Lesnar hypothetical situation.
So does Undertaker lose then?
No, he wins.
So you're putting Undertaker over Brock Lesnar?
Yep, absolutely.
Revenge? Joe?
I don't know. I mean, can you really do that twice?
Sure you can.
Because the thing is maybe they make it a retirement. Hey, you beat Brock Lesnar, you retire. Then he's in the sunset, and it doesn't hurt Brock.
Undertaker retires as champion, and then they have to have a tournament. That's it. There you go.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
And then Undertaker goes out beating Brock Lesnar, getting his revenge for what happened in New Orleans.
Yep. In New York City. You know? It just makes sense. Good hypothetical situation.
I hate that so much.
Oh, see, I love it. I am in on that.
Oh, I'm so out on Undertaker in a championship fight.
Oh, like, it's a beautiful thing. Come on.
No. I've seen Brock Lesnar. I've seen Undertaker.
Well, you
I've
know
seen
what?
That.
Shame on anybody that rips on veterans like that, because you know what? In 100 years, they're not going to be around. Embrace it while we can. Take advantage of it while we can. If you can get the Taker in a main event like that, enjoy every second of it.
I'm 2 years away from 40, and I'm not going to make it. So,
well, that's do that on your own time.
I plan on it, actually. Undertaker. Oh,
come on, Jimmy. The dead man, baby. The dead man.
No, give me him non-title against AJ Styles. And then I'm,
that'd be great.
Or actually, give me him against Samoa Joe. That's the match I want.
Another great scenario, too. But I love the title match with Brock.
Joe, closing thoughts?
I love the podcast. Love the Royal Rumble. I know you guys didn't get to do the news because we were doing a lot of prop bets. But AEW, I mean, this thing, to me, I'm excited about it. I did like how they came out and said it's going to be more like a New Japan or a Ring of Honor, not to somewhat compare it to WWE. But just think about some of these mid-card, you know, wrestlers that want to move on. I think AEW is going to be a legit. Yes, I think at least it's going to be something I'm going to watch. And, hey, if I see Chris Jericho and I know he's wrestling and the Jacksons and guys like I want to watch. I'm really excited to see what AEW is going to be, and I just think it's good for the sport. I know WWE really is holding some guys back. At the same time, though, I think this is very good for the sport.
So I will follow up on that. I love the fact that they opened up. I love the fact that they've got real money behind it. And because we went long, we're not going to do news, but I'm going to pitch this idea at you because I wrote it up and it's in my notes and it's my podcast. So we're going to do it.
You're such a jerk.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
You're such a jerk.
So a few names may or may not have asked for a release from WWE. somebody whose contract I think is coming up soon, and he's recently been greenlit for wrestling action again, and creatively, I think he's a game changer. What do you think if Matt Hardy goes to All Elite Wrestling?
Well, Matt Hardy did tweet out recently that his career is not over, and I could totally see that happening. And maybe even when is Jeff Hardy's contract up? Any idea?
I don't know about Jeff. I know about Matt's because his wife did a radio interview in August,
yep,
and noted that her husband's contract was up in March.
Okay.
So,
and he's currently a producer, I believe.
Right? I believe he's currently rehabbing. Okay. I think the last bit of producing he did was months ago. I think he's just been home rehabbing. But if you're telling me Matt Hardy can wrestle, his creative mind is brilliant. He single-handedly carried TNA for a long time. I love Matt Hardy on a personal level. I miss Matt Hardy on my television. Mm-hmm. His work on social media is, pardon the cliche, wonderful. And if you imagine adding him to All Elite Wrestling, or hell, what if Ring of Honor makes him a great offer and he shows up at their Madison Square Garden show? He's a great talent and he has options. And it's a name that popped into my head this week, as with all the other names that are out there, the Revival requests a release. Mike and Maria may or may not have requested a release. Dolph Ziggler is a name that's out there. I just think Matt Hardy is a name that people are sleeping on as far as being a, if he were to decide to leave the WWE, he would fit in any wrestling promotion because he's that good and that talented.
And, you know, to touch on the Joe with the AEW, I think if you really want to read into the whole story on some of the big names there, starting with Chris Jericho, go listen to his podcast, what he had to say last week on the situation of him signing on AEW, because what he does say is that, okay, well, Chris Jericho is here. He's going to be more or less the draw, and, you know, people are going to see that he's here. They're going to go want to sign on with him. That's where I could see Matt Hardy jumping in there, because Jericho is there. Get another big name guy. He's been a great tag team champ over time. He had an awesome job with the in the Ring of Honor scenario and the New Japan too, or not New Japan, just Ring of Honor, right, Jimmy? Ring of Honor, TNA. Excuse me. With the whole different character, how he was able to revive that there. And I could totally see him having a home in AEW with have the big name of Matt Hardy alongside Chris Jericho.
Yeah, it's a huge name. And, you know, I'm curious. I'm not sure how long this took to develop, but I wonder if this sped up Daniel Bryan coming back to WWE and him getting a contract, because, you know, the further they held him out, you know, that whole Miz thing, that stuff was real. He could have fought independent if he wanted to. And if AEW came calling, hell, they could build that thing around Daniel Bryan themselves.
The threat of All In was really the draw. So, I mean, WWE and Daniel Bryan had an idea around when Bryan's contract was up September 1st that this was a possibility, I think. I mean, if you're telling me, and Chris Jericho said this on his recent podcast that Mike just referenced, that Tony Khan was the one who got the private jet to get Jericho to and from his concert to All In. So they knew. They knew. They 100% knew.
It's a bad job.
Mike, any closing thoughts?
You know, a lot of fun having Joe on here. Thank you very much, Joe. I do have to say, this was kind of the advent from a very loyal listener, Jared, who listens to us every week here, Jimmy, Wrestling Inside the Ropes. He suggested this a couple of months ago, I believe, to both you and I on Twitter, saying, hey, Royal Rumble's coming up. Why don't you guys do some odds, maybe a little cross-promotion with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz of Over Under. So that was kind of planted the seed here and got the wheels in motion on this. So really a lot of fun to have Joe here. And you know what, Jimmy? Maybe we can do this again going into WrestleMania when the card is announced. What do you say?
Eh, we'll talk about it then. but Mike, you positioned this as your idea. You didn't give Jared any credit for it. When you texted me with the idea, you're like, oh, I have this great idea. Let's put Joe Murray on the podcast. And I allowed it because it's my podcast.
You know what, Jimmy? Shut up.
Again, this is my favorite podcast.
Good show.
I listen to many podcasts, many wrestling podcasts, which I'm sure you all do too as well. But this is by far my favorite.
Joe, I want to tell you that your audition for Mike's spot went swimmingly well. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on 985thesportshub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com, in Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. For Joe Murray, host of the Over Under 98.5 The Sports Hub podcast. For Mike Riley at Sarge985. The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. I will send you off with this message. F*** the Revival.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.